Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, "He has gone to be a guest of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times that amount." Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Okay, fantastic. Well, we're in these little booklets, and it's page 59, and keep that open because we'll be looking at it together. So I really love these little books. I think they're going to be a great resource for sharing good news in our town for a long time to come. But the thing that makes this book so good, by the way, isn't the Henley. I just need to be clear on that. Henley is a beautiful town. We love Henley. But the thing that makes this book so good is the Luke's Gospel bit. Because that's the bit which is all about Jesus, who continues to be life-transforming good news for people today. Okay, and that's why we have these little books produced. That's why if this is kind of new to you, we would love you to take this away and read it. Okay, if this isn't new to you, take it away and give it to a friend. Because we believe Jesus continues to be good news for us today. And the best way of encouraging that is by just having a look at Jesus for yourself. But as we look at Zacchaeus today, let me start with a prayer, and then we're gonna dive in. So, Lord Father, we do just pray for our time now. Lord, you know how busy our lives are. You know the things on our minds at the moment, on our hearts at the moment. And we just pray that you help us to be still and to listen. And Lord, where there are things for us to learn and to grow in, we pray that you be speaking to us. And we ask that for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen. So I guess we know what I mean when I talk about people who are lost. So if I was to say, "Oh, you know, he's a bit of a lost soul," or "Oh, you know, she's really lost her way," then probably you can think of two or three people that come to your mind straight away. Okay, we use that phrase all the time, don't we? Being lost, it's not just that you haven't followed the map. We know it means a slightly deeper thing than that. And it's interesting that this is a term that Jesus uses to describe the people he's come for. So did you notice that? Right at the end of our reading, page 60, that little number 10, "For the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost." Now, we can see lostness in 100 different ways, in 100 different places. Okay, you see it in the man in his 40s, in his big home office, in his big house, with his big salary, with an even bigger loneliness that he covers up by yet another work project that he doesn't really have time for. Lostness. You see it in the mum's night out, when with great relief she escapes from it all with a few more drinks and puts on the big personality that everyone mistakes for happiness, but it's actually just a cover for the emptiness that she's feeling at the moment. You see it in the teenagers whose parents have never been able to answer the basic question: who am I? Why am I here?
Is there purpose to my life? Am I worth anything? Okay, you see it in the eyes of people on the train.
Been on the train recently, and they often go, but there they are, scrolling, not talking, just scrolling, looking at nothing in particular, just scrolling. Okay, so some of you grandparents see it in your grandkids who would rather stare at a screen than climb a tree. Grandchildren see it in their grandparents who have now got to their 70s or 80s, and life has been successful in many ways, but now death is approaching and they have no answers. And they realise that for all that they've done in life, they're approaching something they don't know what to do about, and they start becoming fearful, lostness. Okay, you see it in the political discourse at the moment. No solid foundations, just anger, judgment, assertions. Okay, you see it in an entire society that unthinkingly assumes that the purpose of life is personal happiness, wealth, pleasure, never stopping to wonder why this vision for life so consistently leaves us empty and depressed. Lost. If you want to look at the pictures, how about this? Think of a boat. And the anchor is down, and the boat is tethered in place. And then someone cuts the rope, and the boat just drifts along the currents. Lost. Or another picture. Think of a child's balloon on a windy day. And there it is, attached to the string, and then the child lets it go. And it just floats on the current of the wind, no direction, no purpose, no real control, lurching from one direction to another. And for a lot of people, that is just how life feels. Lost. Now, I don't know whether Zacchaeus woke up that morning feeling lost. Maybe he felt absolutely fine. Quite possibly he did. But it seems very clear that by the end of his day, he realised that he had been found. Whether he realised he was lost at all in the first place. So just in the next 15 minutes or so, can I ask, will you allow Zacchaeus to shine a spotlight on your own heart? Okay, maybe we're more lost than we realise. And maybe Zacchaeus can shine a spotlight on that. But more importantly, allow his story to shine a spotlight on the one who came to seek and find him. And when we do that, I think we see two wonderful things about Jesus in this encounter that he has with Zacchaeus. We see his heart and we see his mission. Okay, we see Jesus' heart and we see Jesus' mission. You see how it all starts in verse 1. Jesus enters Jericho. It's just down the road from Jerusalem. He's about a week away from the great climax when Jesus dies on the cross. Okay, he knows that's where he's heading. And he's now entering Jericho and he's passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was the chief tax collector and was wealthy. And there, just in a few strokes of the pen, Luke has told us everything that we need to know. Tax collectors were hated. Cheap tax collectors were hated even more. Okay? Cheats, liars, thieves, traitors. That's what everyone agreed on. Okay, that was the base level. They could be worse than that as well, but at least those things for every tax collector. And it turns out, as we go on in the story, Zacchaeus, the shoe fits pretty well for Zacchaeus on those things. Turns out he had been cheating. Turns out he had been extorting money, lying, abusing his power to manipulate those who can't afford it. I mean, appalling for Zacchaeus. But what Zacchaeus does on this day is really interesting, isn't it? So verse 3, he wanted to see where Jesus was, who Jesus was, but because he was short, he could not see it in the crowd. So he runs ahead and he climbs a sycamore fig tree. to see it, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." Now, I'm sure that Zacchaeus was not at all surprised that no one in the crowd made room for him to see Jesus. I'm sure he was used to getting that kind of shoulder in every situation in life. But surprising is how much he actually wants to see Jesus. So he runs ahead, he climbs a tree, potentially makes himself quite undignified in the process, and that's when you can just imagine him up there in the tree, the crowd perhaps haven't noticed him yet, and Jesus goes by and he stops, and everyone's thinking, what's Jesus stopping for? And he looks up, and there's Zacchaeus. And I mean, how does Zacchaeus respond when he realizes that Jesus is getting his attention? He uses his name, Zacchaeus. Well, we know what the people thought. Do you see verse 6? Zacchaeus came down at once and welcomed him. All the people saw this and began to mutter, "He's gone to be the guest of a sinner." Okay, the people weren't just surprised at this turn of events, they were shocked. You know the parable of the lost sheep? Come across this one? Okay, and the sheep, their head's out, he gets lost, and then the shepherd comes and brings them home, and they're rejoicing, and Jesus says, "This is how God feels when a lost person comes back." It's wonderful. I don't know if you ever read the lost sheep to your kids, those who have kids, or grandchildren. And we've got a version by Nick Butterworth and Nick Ingham, I think. And for some reason, the sheep always looks incredibly cuddly and quite cute. And this poor little sheep has got himself lost. And you feel very sorry for the sheep and really warm towards the sheep in this scenario. Now, it's important that we realise that there was nothing cuddly about Zacchaeus. Okay, he wasn't some poor lost soul, as we might use the phrase. Okay, think mean, suspicious eyes. Think controlling look, used to abusing his power to fleece others. Okay, there are no laughter lines on Zacchaeus' face, just a calculating, self-interested smile of contempt towards the people who he robs and who hate him, and yet he doesn't care. Again, think someone who's potentially hard as nails. But what's going through his mind as Jesus stops and calls him? Well, we can only imagine, but we do know what he did. Verse 6, he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. Perhaps underneath all the hard exterior, there was a vulnerability as it is. Perhaps after all that hatred and hostility, he saw in Jesus someone different. And that's the thing about this. It spotlights Jesus' heart to us. What does it show us about his heart? Well, fundamentally, and this is more amazing than perhaps we realise, Jesus loves the unlovable. We find it incredibly hard, don't we? But Jesus loves the unlovable. Again, the person that no one else cares about, the person everyone else has written off. You know, one of the things that I love about Jesus in the Gospel accounts is that he's never in a hurry. Okay, he always has time to stop and to engage people, to talk to people, to spend time with them. Jesus is not about the crowds. He's not about the big platform and the big name. He's all about the individual. So there he is, talking with Zacchaeus. And then does anyone else looks up in the tree and sees Zacchaeus? Just picture it with me. What do they see when they look at Zacchaeus? Well, they see a tax collector. They see someone who is wealthy. They see someone who is arrogant, compromised, immoral. Perhaps a pathetic figure with no friends who thoroughly deserved it. They see him with contempt, perhaps. But when Jesus looks at Zacchaeus, he
he sees differently, and that helps you to see Jesus' heart, because he sees someone who is loved and who is lost. That's what Jesus sees when he looks at Zacchaeus, someone who is loved and who is lost. He looks up at Zacchaeus, he sees behind those beady eyes someone who's been made in God's image, precious, someone with intrinsic value, someone created to shine with his beauty. Think of a, you walk past someone from time to time, one of these kind of derelict stately homes. Well, Jesus sees the splendor Zacchaeus was designed with. The pleasure the architect had in creating and unveiling it when it was first built. Okay, he peels back the layers of mess and neglect, and this remains fundamental. Zacchaeus is loved intrinsically. That's the heart of Jesus. That's the heart of the God of the universe, by the way, who Jesus has come to show us. Okay, more love than his shriveled heart perhaps dared to imagine. He's loved, but he's lost. Okay, that Jesus also sees the lostness. He sees how far from God he's wandered, how far from the architect's purpose for his life. And this is something that we need to realize. But all those ways that we feel lost that we thought about right at the start, behind there's a common cause behind all of this. Okay, we have become untethered from the Maker's design for life. We have walked out of the God who made us. The Bible says we have purposefully chosen to reject him. And that is what has left us being lost. Just left floating around. That's what has happened to Zacchaeus. He's lost not just because life has gone so well for him, because he's hated. He's lost because he's been disconnected from the God who loves him and made him. It's a problem all of us have. But you can't, this is not really very popular, but you can't talk about Zacchaeus without talking about how his money contributes to his lostness. How his money has taken control of his life. Bit of a theme in Luke's gospel as a whole. You can't read through this little account and fail to notice how much Jesus talks about money. Okay, the reality is there are many dangers that you and I will have to navigate in life. Many dangers. But if Jesus is to believe, one of the most significant dangers you will face in life is your wealth. Now, wealth is not a bad thing. In itself, all things come from God and are to be celebrated as gifts from him. It's a good thing. And yet, your wealth has an unparalleled ability to warp your heart and to take you far from God. Just think about that for a moment. As we dig into Zacchaeus, he's a wealthy man, and that's exactly what it's done for him. How does it do it? Well, when you become wealthy, you get used to being in control, which over time almost inevitably makes you more controlling of others and less submissive to God. Okay, when you become wealthy, you get used to buying your way out of trouble, which over time almost inevitably makes you self-sufficient and proud, less likely perhaps to take the accountability we have before God in his judgment seriously. Because you've always got yourself out of a scrape before with your money. Okay, when you become wealthy, you get used to being the one who helps others, which over time almost inevitably makes you less likely to acknowledge when you need help, either from others or from God. Okay, when you become wealthy, you get used to being treated as a big deal, which over time makes you believe you really are a big deal. And so God becomes a much smaller deal. When you become wealthy, you begin to like the comfort, the sense of security, the sense of significance, and so almost inevitably, your priority becomes maintaining and increasing your wealth. And that is the gateway into greed. Of course, we rebrand greed. We call it prudence or saving for the kids. We justify it in many ways, and yet if Jesus is to be believed, this is what wealth can do. It's not bad in itself, but it has great power over us. Is it any surprise that Jesus says, when you get wealthy, it's a dangerous moment. It can lead you far away from God. And by the way, if you're already a Christian believer, we are kidding ourselves if we think, oh, this isn't a problem for me anymore. I'm a Christian believer, I've got the Holy Spirit. Praise God for that. And yet still, Jesus gives these warnings to Christian believers as well. Here's a picture for that. Think of your heart like a fortified city. I've been reading Lord of the Rings recently, and do you remember that amazing scene where Minas Tirith is under siege, and the Orc armies come around, and they've got a massive, what do they call it? A battering ram. I'm looking at Christian. What's the name of the battering ram?
Grom.
This enormous battering ram. And it comes down, you know, against the gates again and again and again, and eventually the gates burst open. Now, wealth can be like that battering ram against your heart. Eventually, they give way to it, and it becomes a master that over time shapes you. Now, listen, this is where it comes back to Zacchaeus. For Zacchaeus, the battering ram has left the gates in tatters. He was stupendously rich and utterly lost. And some of us here are just like him. And some of us have friends who are just like him. Jesus said how hard it is for the rich to inherit the kingdom of God. And yet, no matter how lost he was loved. Isn't that wonderful? He was loved. And as Jesus says to Zacchaeus, come down, I must stay in your house. I think he decided to sing that song. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. No one else did. But Jesus didn't see the way everyone else did. He saw someone who is loved and someone who is lost. That's the heart of Jesus. That's the heart of the God who governs the universe. No matter how lost you have become, you are still loved deeply, profoundly loved. And that takes us on to Jesus' mission. That's Jesus' heart. Jesus' mission. So you can imagine, right? He's invited himself into dinner with Zacchaeus. There he is, Zacchaeus, all of Zacchaeus' friends, Jesus, they're chatting away. They're eating, they're enjoying each other's company, and whilst they do that, the crowds are muttering at what Jesus is doing, eating with this tax collector. And yet, whilst they mutter, Jesus is working the most extraordinary miracle in Zacchaeus' life. It's astonishing, the miracle of salvation. And you can it's just a few short words, but look at the transformation, verse 8. But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, look, Lord, here and now I give away half of my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount. And Jesus said, today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. Then if you notice the link there, you see in verse 5, Jesus says, Zacchaeus, come down, I must stay in your house today. And then in verse 9, he says, today salvation has come into this house. Do you see the point? Okay, when Jesus comes, salvation comes. When we welcome Jesus in, we welcome salvation, the salvation that he brings. And Jesus makes it clear, Zacchaeus isn't some isolated example of this. Verse 10, we started with this, for the Son of Man came. This is why he came. To seek and save the lost. His heart, compassion. He sees people who are loved but lost. His mission, to seek and to save. And with Zacchaeus, we get a really nice little taste of what this salvation actually involves. And the lovely thing about it is, at the heart of it, is relationship. Isn't that wonderful? Zacchaeus, come down. I must eat at your house today. Zacchaeus, I'm coming into your life. That's what he says. That's the heart of salvation. Again, we have become disconnected, untethered from the God who loves us and made us. And Jesus says, that relationship can now be fixed. You can be re-tethered. As I come into your life, your God and Savior. Amazing. You can know Him, enjoy Him, walk through life with Him, experience His love and friendship now and through death into eternity. That is salvation. It's relationship with the God who made us and who loves us. And this relationship that He offers us is undeserved. Okay, that's the whole point of Zacchaeus. It's not like he was a nice guy who was misunderstood by people. He was a nasty guy who experienced the mercy and grace of Jesus. Okay, it's undeserved. Zacchaeus didn't go seeking out Jesus, by the way. He wanted to look, but it was Jesus who took the initiative to call him. It was a gift of grace. But as unearned as it was, this relationship of salvation is also transformative. And it's an incredibly compelling thing when we see it as Zacchaeus' life. This is in verse 8. Here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. That if I cheat anyone out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount. Okay, that fortress of his heart that we imagine, the gates lay in tatters. It had been totally breached. He was living for someone other than God. And yet, it was not beyond the liberation of Jesus. And what a liberation it was. It was stunning. Okay, the grip his money had had on his heart, gone. He joyfully gives it away. It's amazing. Now, his issue was money, but it could be any number of issues that in our lives we've been keeping God at arm's length, that's been leading to our lostness. And Jesus is the liberator who can come in and cast those things out and free us. It gives us, by the way, when we think about money just a few moments ago, if you're thinking like, okay, well, what do I do if I am wealthy? Well, here's the answer. Be honest. That's what Zacchaeus does. If I've cheated anyone, I'll pay it back. Be honest. And be extravagantly generous. That's how you fight against the control that money can have in your heart. Be honest, be extravagantly generous. That's the work of salvation that Jesus does in his heart. And what he does as a kid, Jesus came to do for all of us. The Son of Man came to seek and save what was lost. And in a week's time, he goes through Jericho into Jerusalem. He climbs the hill of Calvary. He's nailed to the cross. And there he experiences the ultimate lostness as he faces the curse and punishment for all of our sin himself. And as he does that, in his mind's eye, he has lost people like us in his heart. That's what he's doing. He says, I will take your place so that you can be found. And 3 days later, he rises again, defeating the ultimate lostness of death itself. And now he lives and works in people's lives. He's still offering this undeserved transformative relationship, this salvation. He's seeking and finding today, and he's come to find you. Because here's the truth. There are 100 different ways that you can end up lost. But there is only one person who has come to find you. And his name is Jesus. And no matter how lost you are, no matter what has led to that lostness, he has the power to take someone like Zacchaeus, to make him a son of Abraham, to bring him into the family of God. How do we respond? Well, verse 6 puts it as well as anywhere else in Luke's gospel. He welcomed him gladly. That's what we have to do. Welcome Jesus gladly. In into our lives. Say, Jesus, yeah, you know what? I'm lost as well. But I would love if you would find me. I need your merciful forgiveness. I need this transformative relationship.
I have become untethered.
And I want to be rooted back in the relationship that I was made for again. Welcome him gladly. If Jesus is new to you, this is going to take a bit of time. I would encourage you to take this, read it. What do you make of Jesus for yourself? Maybe Jesus isn't new to you, but as you've been listening today, you're thinking, I've been drifting, actually. Or maybe you've been coming to church each week, and maybe that's off the radar as well at the moment, but you're thinking, actually, I have been drifting away. And I want to come back. I need to be refound by Jesus again. Well, I know there'll be chances of just a great party about that, and invite him back into your life. Welcome him gladly again. And some of us are thinking, well, praise God, I've been found. I walk with Jesus day by day. I love having him as my Savior and Lord. Praise God for that. Well, listen, friends, you know many people who are still lost, untethered, without the hope of life that Jesus brings. And Jesus says, look, you've been found. Won't you join with me in finding others now as well? Well, I wonder, who are the Zacchaeuses in your life who God might use to seek and find? There may be 100 ways to get lost, but there's only one way to be found. Why don't I pray as we close? Well, just to make quiet crystals, we reflect, we pray. Encourage you first to take one thing from God's word today that has struck you. Perhaps take a moment right now to turn that into prayer. Just quietly in your own heart and pray to the Lord about it. Prayer for those who want Jesus to seek and to save them. Lord Jesus, thank you for your heart. Thank you that when you see me, you see someone who is loved but lost. I confess that's true, that I've wandered far away. I'm sorry. And I pray that you would come and seek and save me. Call me into your life, into a relationship with you. And might that relationship be transformative in my life as well, as I turn away from all that's wrong and seek to crown you as my King. And a prayer for those who want to be refound by Jesus. Lord Jesus, I confess that although I've been walking with you for some time, I have wandered away. And thank you for your heart. Thank you that I remain loved. Even if at the moment I'm a little bit lost. And I pray that you would again reach into my life and seek and save me. Restore me to the joy of that salvation. And finally, prayer for those who are concerned for Zacchaeus in their own lives. Father, we all know people who would love to introduce this good news of Jesus to. We all know people who might not even realize their loss, and yet
time of lostness. And we just bring them to you by name now, in Christ's name.